Imagine, if you will, a Nazi-like people with today's technology, making hiding behind walls or basements impossible. Heat signatures and GPS tracking giving you away. Imagine their morality so extreme that only the eyes of their women are seen. Picture facial recognition software, part of their master plan to hide your women from you. You have seen the future. You have entered the reality zone. The signpost just up ahead. You're listening to WhiteHorse-Radio.com.
Thank you for joining me again, and I'm Brother Abel. My full initials have B-A-B, but I was born with the initials E-L. It was the first kingdom after Noah's flood was the kingdom of Babel, B-A-B-E-L. Drop the B, you'll see who God gave the first kingdom to teach him how to run the operation, how to play the game, how to be, you know, in this war, how to fight this war, this battle. This battle is being fought. For thousands of years, we've been fighting this battle. This battle with the dragon. The dragon has been stealing away souls and stealing away people from the kingdom of God. He did not respect Abel in the offering. He took Abel's life. God had respect for Abel and his offering. Oh, that Abel is the firstborn amongst the angels in the kingdom of God, but that wasn't whom God was speaking to when he said, let us go down and confound their language. And why did he want the first kingdom to be named B-A-B-E-L? Well, because the first kingdom and the last kingdom have something in common. And it's not that in the beginning, first kingdom, that one tower was being built as they tried to work their way to heaven, but at the end of the age, two towers came down while two groups of people tried to work their way into heaven again, thinking they'd take the towers down. Well, putting towers up or taking towers down doesn't get you into heaven. These people still don't have figured out in over 5,000 years how to get to heaven. So let us teach them. Let us get them on their course to getting into heaven. And Babel, well, he's part of the plan too. God has sent his son, his adopted son, firstborn amongst the angels. His name is Abel. You might remember him from the story of Genesis. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Eternal life is forever. He surprised me. He's very real. He's very, very real. I never doubted it for one moment, but I never believed for one moment that he would come up behind me and put his hand in my shoulders and say, tag, you're it. For one minute he would do that, playing the game, leading me to where he wanted me to be, to leading me to where he wanted me to find. What he wanted me to find was the truth. The truth is that his enemy built the symbols of the battle of good and evil laying out there in Egypt. That's what makes it so that I can do the rest of these puzzles. It was a game that Father was playing. I don't mind playing a game with my Father. I don't mind playing a game with my Creator. I don't mind playing the game. If it means that he wins and I win with him. See, I don't mind playing that game. I don't mind him winning as long as I win with him. I like being on the winning side. I like being on the side that's going to be victorious. I like to be on the side that's going to cheer and shout for all eternity in glory and give God the praise for the great things that he has done. I don't mind being on that side of the team. But there are two teams playing. There's the team of light and there's the team of darkness. And take a look at the Reaper Cometh. This topic I've put up because I've noticed a pattern. I've noticed some family friends and people who have been losing loved ones and they've gone on into glory. And, well, I want you to know that I would rather see a Christian die opposed to an unbeliever. One enters the glory, the other torments of hell. Just because you do not believe does not make it any less real. Hell is a real place. Jesus is real. I know he's real. He came to me. He spoke to me. Not on one occasion, but on a few occasions in my life. First time he came to spoke to me, my family had me committed because, well, I had no proof to back it up. All I had was the fact that I wasn't going to trust the Mormons and the Catholics. And that was back in 1978. I didn't trust either group, and I was a wise man to do so, because they're the very two groups that are vying for the power here in the United States of America. At the end of the age, the most powerful nation on the earth, the two major religions that are fighting for its power, for its seat, are both Catholics and Mormons, and Islam. These three groups want this power. They want this kind of weaponry. They want this kind of... to do what? To harm Jesus upon his return. To turn the weapons of war against God when he returns. That's the only reason why you'd want the power of America. Is so that you can have this power in order to destroy lives. To kill people with. This is a time when we need to put our priorities in perspective. What is important to you as a Christian? If you've offended God, don't you want to get right with God? If you've made an offense to God? If you've mocked God in any way, wouldn't you want to get right with him before the resurrection? I would hope you would. I would hope you'd be right with God. You'd want to get right with God. You'd want to take a look and tell the men, your righteousness is supposed to rise up above the righteousness of your ministers and your pastors. And you'd tell them the error of their ways. Bible tells us that if a man stumbles, Bible says, and I've got it here in from Ezekiel 3, written down just as a reminder to everyone. I did another episode earlier about it, concerning it. And it speaks of Ezekiel. The prophet said in 3:20, God spoke to him and said, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him. Topic I've been on for a little while, because righteousness, the righteous can be turned from their righteousness. And if there's God lays, and it's God who lays the stumbling block. Before him he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hands. So, here we got a God who loves us and cares about us. And we know that Jesus, we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior. He's died for our sins, past, present, and future. But what kind of rewards do you want to receive in heaven? Do you want God to be reminded of your offense? Do you want to go into heaven find out that you dishonored him, that you mocked him, that you ridiculed him, and you did it without understanding that you were doing it? Because you were deceived by the enemy. And, well, you're elect. How can you be deceived? All of a sudden you find out you're not elect. Well, don't think God's going to pat you on the back after you've destroyed his plan, destroyed his work, and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I don't think that's happening anytime soon for some people that I do know who are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, only because they choose to remain blind and choose not to see what God is doing here. We know that the tribulation's coming, and it's going. Jesus said it would be the worst thing that ever happened. The worst thing that the world has ever seen is going to happen on the earth. It is going to be revival of both the Inquisition and the concentration camps of Germany. It's going to be a revival, and it's building it right here in America. Don't think they're not. In the technology that they have today to track you down and to hunt you down and to get you to do what they want you to do, you say that God is a punishing God? He's not punishing. God sets people free. He doesn't put them into bondage. He doesn't make slaves of people. It's the enemy who makes slaves of people. But people don't believe that the enemy is real. But you're going to see just how real he is in these last days. You're going to see the damage that he can cause in these last days. In this one, the reaper cometh. We have these reapers. It seems to be high-tech reaping, isn't it? It's a high-tech reaper. It's got three blades on it, and it spins real fast, and what is he reaping? He's reaping out the harvest. He's taking what belongs to him. But the reapers that came in Egypt and took the firstborn of the pharaohs did so because it weakened the pharaoh, setting the Hebrews free. And in the process, getting the wealth of Egypt, out of Egypt for their labors, for spending 400 years in Operation Cover-Up, the enemy's sin. Everyone in some way or another shows the angels that they desire to spend eternity either by disrespecting God and his commandments or in the honoring of God in his only begotten son, Jesus. The angels are watching. The video here, I have a video clip right below the two face of Babel, God's baby. Abel, God's baby, right? God has children. God adopts children. God adopts us all through the blood of Christ. But the first adoption he had was who? Abel. This is the firstborn amongst the angels. They've never seen anyone who's made in the image of God. This was unique for them. This was a unique experience for them to see a spirit in heaven who was made in the image of their God and Creator and whom they worship. Now, Abel was not the son, but he was the best thing that they were going to get until the son came. What do you think they wanted to do with Abel? Do you think, couldn't go to Abraham's bosom? Abraham wasn't born yet. Where were you going to send him? To the abyss? To the pits of hell? For what reason? He didn't break any laws. He didn't break any commandments. He was killed because he offered up an offering. Showed God respect. God respected the offering, and he respected Abel for giving the offering. And it was Abel, we know that from the book of Enoch, if we go to the book of Enoch, from the book of Watches, because Jude quotes from the very book that we want to look at, we'll see that Abel is making suit in heaven. What's his suit? He's pleading for the souls of humanity. He's pleading for God to... He's interceding. He's stepping in until the Son arrives. He's making suit. He's not looking for vengeance against Cain. He's looking for vengeance upon the dragon who destroyed his life. God says vengeance belongs to him. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And he will exact punishment upon the wicked. And those who follow him, follow the enemy. John 14:21, God says, Jesus says, and this is true because it's true. I know it's true because it's true. Because he came and he revealed himself to me when he took me into Egypt to show me the truth. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus manifested himself to me. I didn't deserve it. I knew that I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve what Jesus had appearing to me. But I only did what I felt him leading me to do in my life. And I wasn't perfect. I had BC days. I was before Christ days. I had days that I inhaled, people. I'm telling you. I'm just being honest with you. So I think honesty is the best policy. I think being truthful is the best way to get people to understand what God is doing, to set people free. Can't sit there and pretend that we're something that we're not. The church is nothing more than a hospital for sinners. And though we're not perfect, God loves us because of what is inside, the treasure that we've placed inside. He sees his son. We want him to see his son. We don't want him to see us. We want him to see Jesus in us. Striving to do the best that we can for the kingdom of God. But those of us who have stumbled, who have fallen into these stumbling blocks, don't expect God to pat you on the back when you get to heaven and say, hey, come, you know, that great job. Oh, yeah, I liked it when you stole money from America and didn't have any faith in me. Oh, yeah, I liked it when you tried to strengthen the Mormon religion by another... doubling the Mormon religion before the end of the world. Yeah, he was really going to be proud of you on that one. So you need to repent. You need to get right with God. Resurrection is coming, and we want to make first resurrection. God's leaving behind all that offend and do iniquity. The word says that. We're going to take a look at that. But these two pictures are the two faces of the children here. And I've done these before. I don't think I've done the angered one here on this website, and I haven't. So I touch base with it right now. On the left-hand side, we see that there are 18 raised crops. Matthew 18, and there are seven hairs at the top, seven hairs on his head, seven hairs where the pinky's supposed to be. And if you flip that upside down, it looks the same backwards and forwards. Well, that's kind of what our God is like. He's making a statement here. No matter how you look at him, he's always the same. You know, he's always the same. He doesn't change. You can look at him from the top or the bottom. He's always the same. But the binky and the hairs on the head are 14. So if we go to Matthew 18, 1 through 14, we see what Jesus says about children and how precious children are to God. When our children stop being harmed, when our children stop being affected by pornography, by rape, by being sold out for sex slaves, by falling into drugs, by playing video games that bring in violence, where parents just don't seem to care about their children, it's time to bring this to a close, and you know that's going to be the way it's got to be, right? You do want justice to be served. You do want God to straighten things out before the second coming of Christ. You want Christ to show up here. What kind of world will he come into if we don't do what he wishes us to do? He wants us to rise up, the one man he's called. He wants the little horn to rise up. And why? Because the little horn represents Protestantism. The three religions that are fighting for power in the White House and are actually sitting there right now are all people who have not made their Christ their Lord and their Savior. They play religion. They use his name in vain, like preterists do. They use his name, they rob God of his glory, they rob him of his honor, they rob him of his victory off the cross, they rob him of his second advent, they rob him of his joy, they try to rob God every chance they get by denying prophecy, by saying all prophecy in the Old Testament is fulfilled. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That robs God of his glory, because not every prophecy in the Old Testament has been fulfilled. God said he would lay his dragon out before kings so that they may see him. That's happening now. God's doing that now. He's dressed his dragon. He's laid him out. He's put him in America. He's taken over America. He's turned the system upside down on us. It's no longer one nation under God. It's one nation under the devil. He's turned it into his system. And look who he's used to do it. No surprise that the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholics, are the most powerful people in the positions of power here in America. God drew them here to set them free, to expose them for the frauds that they are. And Protestants who sit around and try and pat them on the back and say, well, they're us, they believe in pro-life, they believe in the Trinity, have missed the mark. They are to conform to the word of God. They are to conform to God's word, to his standards. But instead, they have to ruin the Bible because it doesn't support anything that they believe. They are now taking the Bible and they're removing the Son of God from Scripture so that they can make it palatable to the Muslim population, because Muslims don't believe that God has a son. But if you look at the truth is for 400 years, the enemy was covering up his faux pas when he built the symbols of the battle of good and evil and said he was going to take the Son of God and make him his pet. Well, in these two faces, these two angry faces, as God's baby Bill came to play, you really don't want to get him angry because he has a dragon and he knows how to use him. See, the dragon is real, and the dragon needs a peace plan, and he doesn't have a peace plan. But God sat back and allowed him to build his one world order so that we could expose his hands and fingers and all the evil in the world. See, if you belong to any of the three religions that are trying for the power of America, the United States, guess what? You're not somebody I want to die with and stand on with God on Judgment Day. I don't want to be with your religion on Judgment Day. Because you honestly do not know Jesus Christ. He's going to say, away from me, I never knew you. How dare people put idols and statues in front of people like the Muslims or the Jews? How bad? You know, and saying that the priesthood continued on after the final high priest came and offered himself on the cross, and Paul makes it very clear that we are a royal priesthood. It is us, it is we, you and I, who have given our lives to Christ. We are the priesthood. There is no sectioned out, sanctioned priesthood anymore. It was destroyed in 70 AD by the enemy. And 300 years later, he had to stand up and say, and this sign will conquer, fulfilling his promise that he made out there in Egypt. He would take the Son of God and make him his pet. Take a look at my last two episodes. See how true this is. The reapers are coming. And they can't, they're not going to take, at this point in the game, the unsaved. The enemy wants to kill off the unsaved. But the enemy also needs the White House. We need the White House. We need to have his seat. He needs to bring peace in the Middle East. And he can't do it. So God gives a Christian the peace plan to bring peace, to separate the kingdoms between light and dark. I'm going to find out that God's going to start shaking the tree in the church. I'm going to start saying, we're going to get the rotten fruit out of the church. You look below the two faces of the child. One, the wide-eyed, bushy-tailed child of God who asked the questions, who asked the right questions and prayed the right prayers and followed Father wherever Father led him. Right below that we see there's a picture of, it's a NASA video. And they've been around us. They've always been here. It's not like this is something we don't know as Christians. They've always been around. Now we're getting to peer in, taking a peek. God's just cracked open the door a little bit for us to take a peek at what's going on around us. Crop circles and these angels have a lot in common. These pictures. The crop circles on the earth, signs in the heavens above and on the earth below, beneath. See, people have seen balls of light coming down and making these crop circles. Well, we know that the lamp of light, we see that in Genesis 15:17. We know what the lamp is. Lamp is one of the spirits of God, the seven spirits of God, right? Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel. These are the spirits, these are the characteristics of our God. Jesus was spared not the spirit. He was given completely the spirit. God spared nothing from Christ. But Lucifer was once the light bearer, but he didn't carry all of the light. He carried what was necessary in heaven to bring praise and worship back to the Son in heaven. And God giving free will, and knowing the way free will would go, he knew, but still allowed for life to exist. He allowed the enemy to take the choice that he made. God wasn't surprised. He was the youngest of God's angels, and he was given the most power in the kingdom. And this is where you would think, why would God do something like that? Because when we're in church, when we get a new Christian comes in, we don't make him a deacon right away. Right? We don't make him the leader of our church right away because he's a new Christian. He's got to grow. He's going to mature. But God made this creature special. Made him uniquely different, the biggest of all of God's angels, and inside of him he put the essence of his Son, the spirits of the Son within him. He was the light bearer. And he walked throughout the congregation. Now, he could have continued to obey the spirit that was within him and continue to do the right. Now, remember, we all have the spirit of God within us, but we don't always obey it, do we? We don't always do what God wants us to do. But at the end, in the end, we must do what God wants us to do if we're going to take in the harvest in these last days. We must submit to the will of God. And the little horn must rise up because the little horn, my friends, is Protestantism. And it's the only way we're going to get people to the foot of the cross is to show them the judgment is coming. We don't want them to stay behind for the judgment. We want to get them to the foot of the cross, and we want to get as many to the foot of the cross as we can. So in God's love and compassion for the Catholic people, he's allowed them to take America and do this so that they can look at themselves and see how phony and wrong they are and who's been leading them to this point. If they truly love Christ, if they truly love Jesus Christ, they will destroy their idols, and they'll stop destroying the Bible, and they'll stop destroying Protestants, and they'll wake up and they'll see that they built Nazi Germany over here in America, and the rest of the world should see it too. But the angels, you can watch the video and you can see them. They've always been there. God's letting us peek in. In Matthew 13, 37, 44, he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field. When man hath found, he hideth for the When he hath found it, he hideth, and for joy, therefore goes and sells all that he has, and buys that field. The preciousness of Christ, buying, having the precious, selling all that you have to follow the Creator, to follow Christ. Follow me, he said, and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, I want you to know that the word shall, Jesus said shall, shall. Now, this is not Bill Clinton's Inquisition, where he has to help us define what is. What is the definition? It depends on your definition of what is. Well, what is the definition of shall? When Jesus says shall, we know that in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But I can't fly. I can't. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and that's important. But I know that I also need to have and allow God to do what he wants to do at the end of this age. And that is to send his angels in to separate all things that offend and do iniquity. That the angels can fly, I can't. I know that when you take and you turn water into wine, you have to mix something else into that water. You must mix something else into the elements of water to make it wine. We see that when God made his first miracle at the Feast of Canaan, he turned water into wine. Well, how did it fermented it? How did he do that? How was he able to turn water into wine? Because he had supernatural help. And they mixed in what they needed to blend in to that water. To make it wine. They were there when God wanted them to be there. He could change the elements because he's God. The first shall be last. What was the first miracle? Turning water into wine. What's wine? Spirit. We know that God's going to have wedding rehearsals at the end of the age. How do I know? Because he spoke to me. He told me what to do. Says that's why he was saving England to be open for the Protestants, so that we could start celebrating the return of Christ. We could start rising up and start shouting and celebrating that Christ is returning. And while we're celebrating and shouting, then the world will celebrate and shout with us when the time comes. I've talked about it in my other episodes. You ministers behind the pulpit don't want to honor God. You don't want to do what God wants you to do. I've had one pastor sitting on the crop circle. Well, several pastors sitting on the crop circles for over 5 years. One of them brings Santa Claus. One of them doesn't want to make resurrection. The other one destroyed what God was doing in Boston. You know, and now it's time for the angels to depart. It's not. See, the angels want a great harvest. They want a harvest to come in. But I'd rather see Christians die before the unsaved die. And if the Queen of England should die before we get the message to her of what her crop circles mean, if she does not advocate the throne to the man that God has chosen, we're not going to have revival in England, and we're not going to have revival in America. And we're not going to put a Christian man in the White House in America to set millions of souls free, which is part of God's plan. That's why the one man rises up as quickly as he does. Why? To set people free, to get them to the foot of the cross. Because resurrection is coming. And the wicked need to be punished. And so we should be very happy about the Antichrist, the guy who God is calling to be the Antichrist. Now, it's not, you know, the dragon must do what must be done in order to get his peace plan in, and he doesn't have a peace plan. I have the peace plan. That should be evident by the very crop circles that are being done in the Bible passage that are being passed around, and the fact that I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to raise me up, and neither does the pastors that I've met. But now, ministers that I've met, you know who you are, I don't play the harp. I don't play the lyre. I don't sing like King David. But I can tell you and assure you that you are all Saul. You're all sitting around and you don't want to fight the Philistines. You don't want to fight the dragon. You don't want to fight the church, the big mother church. You want to sit and do the wrong thing. They don't have children at the top of the hill, and God can't go after their children. So, we are forced to do what? And isn't it better that a Christian should perish than someone who's unsaved? Judgment falls on the house of God first. Even when the herd thinned out, the remnant will become as Gideon's army. Those who took from God's America and assisted in our downfall is as those who bowed down to the waters and lapped without looking. They did not have their eyes watching the enemies of America, who shortly afterwards would suck $700 billion from our shores by not supporting the loans in the housing markets. The notes became worthless pieces of paper as the scoundrels placed their man in the only house they ever really wanted. Whose money? It was the Rothschilds' money. It was their money behind it all. Where did that money really disappear to? Ask Tony Blair, who shortly afterwards converted to Christianity, Catholicism. He converted to Catholicism. Remember, he was around the Queen of England for a very long time. He was the Prime Minister of England. He's the one who talked us into getting into the wars with the Middle East. But he knew what was going on. He knew it was an inside job. They're not stupid up there at the top of the hill. They're not stupid what's going on. They know very well what's going on in the world, but they don't say anything. And you want to know why they don't say anything? Because of the people who have the guns and the weapons who threaten their lives. The Inquisition is in stealth mode, but they're still there. And received a nice cushy, he received a nice cushy job at J.P. Morgan Chase as a senior advisor to their excellent team, executive team and board. Ask the Protestant's head of the church, the Queen of England, who filled in Blair as to the game Roman Catholics play, or any of the other people in the photograph below. George Bush is there. Some of the heads of Europe are there. But these people aren't all satanic. These aren't the satanic people. The satanic people wear them fishy head hats and carry Jesus around on the staff and pretend that they're something that they're not. Well, they destroy the world wherever they go. They go and vilify things that they don't understand. They call it of the devil. They say it's the prince of darkness. They say this, they say that. They vilify everything else. Well, they carry statues and idols around and everybody swoons all over them because they're so big. Well, that's exactly what the half-hearted angels did in heaven. They swooned all over Lucifer because he was big and they could see him. Because he had all those fancy stones and gems all over him. They went after him. And then the half-hearted ones who didn't want to worship the sun, well, they turned him against God. They began to mock. They began to ridicule. They began to laugh at him. That's why he laughs and mocks at Christians. You know, he's hurt by what the fallen angels... He understands what happened. He's very well aware of what happened. But he's trying to tell you that you don't need the sun to have peace. And, well, that's the lie. You do need to have the sun to have peace. He attacks us because the fallen angels, whom he was created to bring back to worship, turned him against God. And he led the rebellion, and he's convinced that he could win this thing, and you don't need to have the sun in order to have peace, and, well, that's never going to happen. when he said he was going to take the Son of God and make him his pet. He had his free will. He didn't have to say something as cruel as that, but that's what he did. And that really angered God. And I addressed that. I addressed that in Jeremiah 4, 22, 23, 24, 25. There was no man, but God destroyed cities. The earth was without form and void. We know that God created the angels. We know the rebellion took place before man was created, before the 7 days of creation. You talk about the 7 days of creation, but you never seem to fit in where the angels were made and where the fall took place and where the war took place. It had to take place all before this, before man came in, because man does what? Man comes into the world to replace that which he has lost in heaven. But they're still here. Their spirits are real. Spirit is eternal. You people who play with those Ouija boards do not know what you're dealing with. You people who call on these ghosts and play these ghost, you know, stories and try to call up these, you don't know what you're playing with. God forbids it. It's real. This war is real. These demons exist, and all you're doing is entertaining them. And there are people in the pulpits who think they have the power to cast demons out. Well, demons are just playing games with you. You go and destroy the work of God in a city that he's trying to win millions of converts to because he took a man there and was going to convert. In fact, the pastor's wife said that God was going to take Boston and make it a fishbowl, and many people were going to fly to Boston and see what God was doing, and the world was going to be in revivals, and that was what God's plans were. But somebody decided that they wanted to ruin God's plans because they felt that their vision was more important than God's vision. And don't realize how many souls that they condemned to hell when they decided that their vision was more important than God's vision. But the only church in the United States, in the world where I was at, where the angels began to minister and move mightily within their body, and the world looked at them and ridiculed them and laughed at them because they thought it was silly what was going on there. But God told me, you need the angels. You need to be in line with what the angels are doing in these last days to take in the harvest. You need to be walking close to them because they hear very well to God. And they're your charges. You see the old cartoons where you have the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder, right? But you can hear, if you get the word of God, the angel will speak to you what you need to know. They were hearing well from God, and this church was doing something that the rest of the world laughed at. But God was making a spectacle of this church because he wants the world to see how real this war is, that these angels can participate in this battle. And no, we're not all going to bark like dogs, and we're not all going to quack like, we're not going to do Noah's Ark. It's been done. We were just doing a remake of Noah's Ark. A remake of Noah's Ark, because we're going to do some remakes of some old Bible stories. We're going to do some remakes. We're going to do Hosea. We're going to do Esther. Haman's built his own gallows. We're going to do some remakes of the Bible because that's where the peace plan lays. It lays within the Bible, and God wants to do remakes of those stories. In the book of Esther, the king goes out searching for a queen. Well, we know that God wants us to find queens in these last days to bring in his harvest, because bees fly around their queens. And the angels know this. And the angels want to participate in bringing queens to the forefront. We want to bring in the royalty. We want to lift up the royalty that is truly of the church to bring more souls into the kingdom of God in these last days. The woman that was at that church in Boston, she's a queen. She speaks the words of wisdom and life and love. And I want the world to hear her. I want the world to know her. I want people to read her books, get her messages, because she turned me on to the Word of God. She turned me on to seeking out and finding out who I am in Christ. She was important to me. and now she's not here. The man who destroyed the church that she was a part of here in Boston, his wife has never produced one article, one book, to go out and to save those that are lost. Great people were destroyed because one man had to keep his vision and ignore the vision of God. But he expects to get a well-done, good and faithful servant. And he's ignored what God's doing in Europe. He's ignored what God's doing in England. He's ignoring the Word of God being opened up. Put all these crop circles in a book, and you put the Word of God alongside of them, and you pass them out to these kids who have no hope, who are putting drugs in their arms, who are smoking dope, who are going out and thinking that there's no one watching, there's no one caring, no one loves them. And it's a lie. There is someone who loves them. There is someone who cares for them. And there is someone who wants them in his eternal kingdom. And God has put these crop circles there in England so that they can be set free. And I got pastors who sat on them for 5 years. And he thinks for some reason he's going to be raised up in the last days. Well, I made sure that he understands that if he's going to die before the Queen of England dies. Because we need that play. We need England, and we need to win England so that we can win America. It's time to rise up. It's time to do the work. The money. These people know where that $700 billion went. It's being held for the body of Christ. It's being held for the church. It's the starter money. And when we start, then Rome will fall into place. When Rome realizes that they've messed up royally and they've sent millions of people to hell because they think they're getting in because they were baptized as babies, or they carried their scapulars, or they said their rosaries, or they did this. They did all these things that the Bible doesn't support at all. And that's why they destroy the Bible. They destroy God's Word. Why would you want to spend eternity with people who destroy the Word of God? Do you think God wants them spending eternity with him? I don't think so. Not in the condition they're in. He'd like them to spend eternity with him, but that means being obedient to his word. Compared to the Protestants, and I'm looking down here, we're looking at the birthday of the Pope here, in the White House, that was bought and paid for. And I've got Matthew 23:15 there. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass the sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Compared to Protestants, the martyrdom is smaller because God tries to spare their unsaved souls. We do not enter heaven by our works, and these people work to build the enemy's one world order. The greatest blunder they have, no peace plan. Death of our children has always been their way at obtaining peace. They place it up, they place up kings or leaders and then take them down when they don't do as they want, as Rome has done since the days of Jesus. Rome has always put in kings. Agrippa, you know, Herod, all of these were kings bent on doing what? Service to Rome. They haven't changed their ways. They now do it using the name of Jesus and pretend that they're something that they're not. Unlike the Exodus from Egypt, ours will take us truly into the promised land, but getting the wealth out of Rome won't be as easy as it was in Egypt, because now the enemy has removed the weakness of the Pharaoh, and they do not have children. His money is safe in his mind. So the reapers will go after the half-hearted Christians who supported this evil empire and insisted with America's downfall, placing God's son back into the dirt where he was once lifted high. We were truly one nation under God, divinely made so. There are also those who voted for Mitt Romney and called themselves Christians who ignorantly sought to help the enemy gain converts and mock God more than he already has. Mitt Romney is proof that the Twin Towers was an inside job. It is how he got on the ticket to begin with. He did that. He got on the ticket because the Mormons knew through their Brigham Young University scientist who went and investigated the downing of the towers, looked at the molten metal, and being a physicist, he understood that there was too much thermite in the mix. There was too much thermite, and there was molten metal for weeks afterwards. You could put steel into an open pit and fill up that pit with jet fuel and light that jet fuel on fire, and you'll never melt that steel. But because they knew this thing, because they had the truth, they confronted the people who were behind it to see through it that their man gets on the ticket so that they could grow their numbers, not knowing that Jesus is right out the door. Continuing on, we are at the end of the age and many other leaders that are blind in the pulpit. This also includes ministers who see no value in the Bible being opened to the world in the form of pictures done by the lamps of light in England in order to sow the word into the hearts of the lost. Others whose families and children are not safe are the ministers whom took money from America and did not place their faith in God. In my army, you would be considered a traitor who lacks faith. Ezekiel 3:20, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because he has not given him warning. The one who has not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hands. Can you imagine that? It's like the old boss adage, right? You get all these attaboys until you do something wrong, and then, you know, then they forget what all the attaboys were, all these great things. Oh, I'm going to get all these crowns. I'm going to get all these great crowns. Well, what good is all those great crowns if somewhere along the line you start, you know, mocking God by introducing Santa into your church, or mocking God by introducing idols into your church, or mocking God by, you know, allowing people who use his son's name in vain to be your best friends, you know, and not say anything to them. And sit there and champion them. Oh, well, they're a Christian. Well, I'm so glad that they're Christian. I'm so glad that they're in public offices and positions. Well, obviously, you don't know your history books, because there was a lot of Catholics in political office during the Nazi Germany. And God went and made Israel a nation right after Nazi Germany. Why? Because he wanted you to see who's behind it all. Who's doing it all. It's the Roman Catholics. The little horn is Protestants. A Protestant king to bring in the harvest, a servant of the Most High God of Israel. The blind guides of today, their numbers have increased. Better to die today than be left behind in the tribulation. If you are left behind, do not be surprised. The reasons are all too obvious. It is so you may be fully dispatched to do kingdom work in the tribulation to a greater degree than the kingdom work you have done so far. Did you fall into the stumbling blocks of offense? Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those be of men.
But they're for pro-life.
Woe unto thee, world, because of offenses, for it must be needs that be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. And down below here, you know this new movie out, Dragon 2, Training Your Dragon 2. I got down here, no peace plan, no problem. Who's the pet now? Revelation 22, he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent, called the devil, cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. But before Jesus comes back to tie up and destroy his dragon, we're going to use the dragon to do what? What we've always used the dragon for, to bring people to the foot of the cross. But right now, who's the pet? You see, when I found what was out there in Egypt, I won. I grabbed the gold ring. I grabbed the brass ring. I won. And lifting me up out of the earth is not something that this creature wants to do, because I don't come from a place of means. I'm not with the super elite. I'm not one of the super wealthy. Right? I drive a used Honda, 2000 used Honda, with 139,000 miles on. I live in a two-bedroom flat. My last name means beautiful place. My initials are B-A-B-E-L, First Kingdom, Last Kingdom. Live in a town where the first man in spaceflight front was Alan Shepard. We know Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Jesus came and manifested himself to me. Why? Because I never called any man father when I got saved. Because I didn't go around supporting Santa Claus. Because I didn't go around mocking God. I went around doing what God asked me to do. I walked away from Roman Catholic Catholicism when I was 13 years old. I then saw and looked into the Mormonism, and right away knew that that wasn't of God. Didn't stay a member for that. Didn't join. I mean, I had them lay hands and they baptized me, but you know, all in all, it was just like, you know, it was a joke, if anything, because there was no God was protecting me. He wasn't going to let me be part of a cult. But I knew it. I knew that they were wrong because I once picked up their word. I picked up the Book of Abraham and read in the Book of Abraham when I was like 12 years old that, you know, the Council of Gods gathered together and right away I closed the book. I said, the Council of Gods, don't these people know that there's only one God? So even in the book of Abraham, they got it wrong. And it was written from papyrus, you know, and you go find out later what a big joke this is, you know. And here they are vying for the power of the White House. Well, at the end of the age, before Jesus comes back, well, why would they want to be? Why has God got them there? They're not going to solve any problems. They're part of the problem. They're not part of the solution. They're part of the problem. It's because evil wants the power. Evil likes power. They want to kill people because that's what they do. And the Mormons are no different. They have the Angel of Death. They go out and kill anybody who exposes who they really are. And let's see. The other thing was is preterism. God laid onto me this doctrine of preterism. And I sat there and I read this Last Days Madness book. And the honest to goodness truth is every time I listen to a preterist, I want to play Brahms' Lullaby. It's like, just comfort me. Let me go to sleep. Don't worry about it. You know, we're going to hand the whole world over to God. When the Father comes back, it's all going to be, we're all going to give it to God. It's coming right out of the Catholic Church. It's coming right out of their Catholic book. You know, lie. We're going to hand the whole world over to God. They think they're living in the millennium age right now. The kingdom age now. No, you're not living in the kingdom age now. You will live in the kingdom age once we separate the good from the evil. Once we do the separation. Once God does on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, he cast the wicked out and let the righteous remain. Now he's going to take the righteous into heaven and leave the wicked to remain to destroy each other with the toys that they built, with the weapons of war. Haman built his own gallows. And that's what the Bible reveals to us, that God's leaving the wicked behind. But they're telling you, oh no, there ain't going to be no Armageddon. There ain't going to be no rapture. Lullaby, don't worry, don't do nothing, don't try to save souls. You know, just do what we tell you, which is nothing, because we are nothing, we are nobodies. We're living in the kingdom age, don't you get it? I had one thing, but, you know, you can hear almost the phoniness in their voice when they tell you things like, you know, God is good. Yeah, he's good all the time. Yes, he is. You know, God is good. See, a parrot can do that. Any parrot can do that. But when you start robbing God of his prophecy, and you start robbing God of his glory, when you start saying that there ain't going to be any rapture, well, there ain't going to be no third temple built, well, that's robbing God of his glory. That's robbing God of his punchline. The third temple is the fact that when Revelation was written by John, God told John to write the fact that, you know, Jesus was going to return, but before Jesus returned, what? The enemy is going to get his temple built. And so the punchline is what temple? Well, it's the temple that he's had to get built, and so God has allowed him to build his one world order to get that temple built. Only problem is he doesn't have a peace plan to get all the world's armies together. Well, guess what? I know what the peace plan is. I love it. I think it's great. I want to share it with everybody. I want everybody to know what the peace plan is. Don't you? Lovingly worship the king. Went out and did works. I worked ministries. Not because I expected anything in return. I didn't do this for anything. I didn't do it for anything more than simple give God the glory. Point to the King of Kings. Give God the glory. Love those that could not love me back. Was very good at that. I grew up with a woman who could never love me, but I never stopped loving her. To love those, see, love is not just a word. Love is an action. It's a verb. And we're to love even those who do not love us. And when I thought when I thought that Obama, after I seen the $700 billion disappear from my economy, and I seen him become the president of the United States out of nowhere, he came from Chicago. Coincidentally, I come from Chicago. I was born there in Chicago. Who smoked cigarettes? Coincidentally, I smoked cigarettes until he got a nomination. I gave it up. Haven't smoked since. Going on 5 or 6 years now. Actually, no, it's going on longer than that because he was nominated. He wasn't president yet. It was like in April of 2007, 2008, I believe. 2008 of April, I had given it up. But the thing is, not that that matters, it's just that, you know, if you look at the spiritual realm, what God's setting up here and trying to get the enemy to fall for the trap. You know, he thought that Obama was his ride. We know that. We know that he thought, well, we named his car the Beast. We named him Renegade. You know, and did you see how the underworld, how the princes, how the darkness, the minions of darkness rose up from the pits of hell to meet him? They were ready to give him the peace plan, the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, he has no peace plan. He has no, you know, it's like every other president. He has no peace plan. Because the only peace plan that you're ever going to find, my friends, is in the same book that we've been carrying, sitting on our shelves, collecting dust in a lot of homes. It's only 66 books, but it's the greatest peace plan that's ever been written. But down below, he said he would make God his pet. Well, now look who's the pet, and I will use him. I will use him. I'll use him. I'll use him to get this done. This work needs to be done. But you Christians are not safe who mock God. You're not safe who've mocked me, who've mocked the works of God. You're not safe. You're safe when you repent and see what God wants to do and honor. See, I got the call because I thought it was Obama. I wanted to wrap my arms around him. I wanted to thank him for coming. I wanted to say, oh, if you're the Antichrist, well, I'm happy you're here. I wanted to shake his hands, kiss him, hug him, and thank him for coming because it meant Jesus was next. And do you think that's what the enemy wants you to do? You think the enemy wants you to embrace him? You think the enemy wants you to forgive him and celebrate because Christ is next? No, he don't. He fears that more than anything. He fears your celebration. He fears your joy. He fears your peace. He fears your not having fear of him. So if you're afraid of me, then you lose. You will lose. Don't be afraid of me. Put your arms around me. Thank me for coming because of the work that needs to be done is going to get done. We're going to go home soon. You should be looking to shake my hand, put your arms around me. He didn't give me a childhood. He robbed me of everything. He robbed me of my life. Times two. Don't you think I deserve a shake in the hand, a pat on the back? I brought respect to God in the garden after the fall. And then I find his honor being dishonored way out there in Egypt. That's twice for me. I'm doing good here. I should at least get invited to a steak dinner. I'm doing good here. Can't even get my pastor to hear me when I'm talking to him or what God's doing in my life to bring in his harvest. But he's going to go to his 100-year reunion. I told him, well, you go. You say goodbye to all your friends at your 100-year reunion. You just say farewell. Because if the queen should die before that we get in there, we lose the whole harvest. And that's not going to happen because we need both England and America. The creature needs America. He needs a body of flesh and blood. God's giving this to someone who loves him, who cares about his son, who doesn't go around using his son's name in vain, who's offended at people who go around carrying Jesus on his cross like he's defeated some defeated foe. He's victorious. He won. He's not on the cross. He's risen from the dead. He lives in my heart. I got more Christ in me than I've ever had. People are looking for, we want to jump around. We want to see salvations and, you know, we want people saved and we want people to be blessed. Yes, we do. Want to see healings take forth and things like that. But the Bible says that the enemy does signs and wonders. There are people who are going to, who are hanging out near idols who are getting saved, who are getting healed in front of idols. In statues of Mary, they're getting healed. They're claiming they speak in tongues. that they can say the whole rosary in tongues. They can do repetitious prayer in tongues, the things that Jesus said not to do. They now can call their fathers fathers in tongues. You know, they're emotional. They have these great signs and wonders, but none of them are stopping anything that would keep the Jews and Muslims from ever coming to Christ. They're not tearing any of their statues down. They're not tearing down their idolatry. And their whole system of government, when they blow smoke, they choose another leader. Are you going to be kidding me? They won't be happy until America's doing the same thing. Once the smoke is cleared, they'll have a new president in the White House. My pastor said he felt God in the liturgy, the Catholic Church. Oh, look who's God's trying to point out that these people ain't making it. They got UFOs and aliens coming for them. They're not making first resurrection. They're already ready to tell their people about the UFOs and the aliens. He said he felt God in liturgy. Wow, obviously you don't know God as well as you thought you did. Pyramids will confuse people. Well, that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. Yeah, they'll confuse people. Because he certainly doesn't want you to see the sun laying out there in the dirt, because if you lifted him up, then all men will come unto him, as he said. Lift them up. See, it was the serpent in the wilderness. It was the serpent that was lifted up, wasn't it? The serpent. So if you lift up the man whom God is going to use to judge the world of sin, well, they'll run into the church. You know, you've got to trust your God. You've got to trust him. You can say to your children all day long to your blue in the face, well, if you don't behave, we're going to punish you. And they're not going to behave. So you stand up the stick and you say, look, hey, I warned you. Here's the stick. I told you. Like I said before, I had neighbors. I used to crack up. Kids would come out of the house crying. Now, I cried all the time. I mean, my mother was punishing me all the time. You didn't know when it was coming. Because she was a drinker. She was a drunk. You didn't know what was coming. But I used to laugh at the kids because they'd walk out of the house and they'd be crying. Oh, they were in repentant mode, you know. They had to go out and cut their own switch. They were repenting, knowing that what was coming next. Don't think that I don't love my mother. I did. I loved my stepmother. I felt bad for her. I always thought that maybe God had put me in that family because she needed to know love. She didn't know any love. She didn't have any peace, no joy. Why? She was in a Catholic orphanage for 12 years of her life. She never found peace. She never found joy. She never found Jesus, like so many of the mothers. You go into any barroom and you try to witness to them about Jesus Christ, and they'll tell you to leave you alone. We're Catholic. Well, we received a little round white wafer. I received Christ. I received Christ. I received Christ. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That isn't how you receive Christ. Never has been. That's not the way to do it. They've sent so many people to hell, and God has brought us all the way here to America to show us who it is that's been destroying our world. We're going home, and you need to expose the darkness so that people can run out of it. Light must shine in the darkness. Light must expose that which is in darkness. Is that what light does? Light must expose the darkness. And when I found what was in Egypt, Jesus came to me and he said to me, the devil can't hide anything from you now. And he can't. I remember going, being all excited and filled with the Holy Spirit and talking to one pastor a friend of mine told me to go talk to the pastor. And I told him what God was doing. And, I wrote him a letter, because he scorned me, actually. I told him what God was doing. He looked at me like I was a patient on his couch or something. He looked at his watch. I guess I was upsetting. I was telling him God told me he was going to fix me up with my wife. And in turn, I would restore his relationship to Israel. And he was looking at it. He was, and I explained to him the crop circles. He called it gobbledygook. What he said to me, and I just, got angry. But I retained my anger. I didn't, Slow to anger, right? You just be patient. But the things that he said, I remember taking me in the back room of his church and sitting down with his elders and saying how he was going to pray for discernment. Didn't want to hear about the crops. Didn't want to hear about how to save millions of people. Just moments before bringing me in the back room, I asked him this great question. Are you looking forward to the rapture? He said, no. I like it here just fine. My family and friends are here with me. Wow. And you're behind the pulpit. You're trying to teach people the word of God. You don't even want to be with Jesus. He's not your first love. See, my treasure's in heaven. I'm not talking about my money. I'm talking about my God, my Savior. My treasure's in heaven. And that's where my heart is. I don't want to be God. And like I said before, there's just way too much math involved. You know the whole periodic weights, measures, balances. It's just too difficult. I wouldn't want to be God. I like being taken care of. I like leaning in the everlasting arms. I like being comforted by the word of God, being, you know, singing songs of praise and worship. I like that. I'm gonna love eternity. I'm gonna love heaven. But, you know, once I've came, you know, was there once before. I know I was, because they remind me every day of what we used to do, things we used to talk about. The angels talk to me. The angels reveal to me what's going on, what's happening in the world, what's taking place. Not ignorant to what's happening around me. Seen the show from the mezzanine. Was watching. That's how I know what George Washington wrote and put in that leg, the table leg. You know, finding these things out. It's just revelation. God revealing things to me. Reminding me. Showing me things. I know it's his lamps. I know it's his light. You know, I know he's wanting to bring in his harvest. I know he's wanting souls to be saved. You know, truth matters to God. Truth is important to God. Abel did not die. But if the enemy's going to have a body, don't you think fair is fair? He had one before. Don't you think fair is fair? Well, reapers are coming. And you're going to find out that what I've been telling you is the truth. You know, you ministers who've been unfaithful to God, keeping God from doing his, bringing in his harvest, keeping these crop circles away from people, that's not going to win the world to Jesus. This is part of the revival. This is part of the harvest. This is what it's all about. It's letting the world know that rebellion leads to this disaster that we have now. Money is failing. Well, billionaires who think that they're God's ruling the earth, they're not. The earth belongs to God in the fullness thereof, and he gives it to whom he wills. And if you don't think his son's on is worth the world, then you don't belong in the pulpit. Don't think the son's on is worth the world, you may not even be making the first resurrection if you don't think his son's on is worth the world. We don't lose angels, we don't lose. We don't lose nothing. The Bible says that those who take the mark of the beast on the right hand or on their forehead will be cast into the lake of fire. Well, it's supernova. When the sun and all the elements of the earth melt in, with a fervent heat, the souls that were trapped in hell, the souls that didn't give their lives to Christ, the souls that turned against God, those souls there will be caught in this environment of just fire and torment for all eternity. And the angels will look upon them and see them for all eternity and always be reminded of the dangers of free will, doing the wrong thing, not coming to the Lord of glory, not asking God for forgiveness, not coming to God, you know, being ashamed. See, that was the problem with Adam and Eve. They were ashamed and they hid themselves, and God had to go and find a covering for them because of their shame. Well, thank God that he covers our shame. He's the one that offers the sacrifice. He's the one that sheds the blood so to cover our shame, to cover our sins. That's what Abel understood. Abel understood what God had done there. He was covering his parents' shame. They had sinned against God, and it was the animals, the death of the lambs, that was covering their shame. The lamb, a picture of the Son of God. God did the first sacrifice, caught the first animals to give covering to Adam and Eve to cover them and cover their shame. The dragon said he'd make the Son of God his pet. Isn't it better this way than doing it the way it happened in Noah's generation, destroying them all? This way here, one man divides the kingdoms, just like God did in heaven. He took one creature, the serpent, right? Lucifer. Made him the most beautiful of all of God's angels and sent them amongst the angels to bring back praise and worship, to restore the order in the kingdom. And that's what he does. And he does it well. He restores order back into the kingdom. He's the one who creates chaos. He's the one who creates confusion. But at the same time, how many of us have come to Christ because of him? And how many in the world will come to Christ because he is real? And if he wasn't real, I'm not going anywhere. Because he needs what God has given me. He came and he demanded to have his 7 years. Well, he gets his 7 years as soon as I finish the 3.5 that God's given me. And I'm hoping that I can get most of the world to the foot of the cross in 3.5 years. But it's going to take Gideon's army and people who are not traitors to the kingdom of God. You think about that. Have a good day. God bless you.